I want to read to you one verse, 2 Corinthians chapter number 9, if you will please. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I read one verse, verse number 15. 2 Corinthians chapter number 9 and verse number 15. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Will you bow with me for prayer? Our Father, we cannot in this body express to you our gratitude for you saving us. Thank you for the good song that Brother Bobby Creech has sung. And God, as Brother Ricky said, I'll never forget the day that Bobby came out across the pews to receive Jesus Christ. Thank you, God, that you made a difference in his life. And I thank you, God, for many others who've come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And God, we don't know how to express our gratitude to you for saving us, that all our sins are gone. Our Father, those things of the past are gone forever. And God, you gave us everlasting life. And our Father, we'll live in heaven for all eternity. I pray, God, this morning, if there's a man or a woman or boy or girl here in the building or in the radio audience, our Father, or in the internet audience, it's not assured of that fact, that this morning will be the morning that they'll settle it once and for all. And God, I must have your anointing. I pray, God, for the anointing and power of the Holy Spirit of God. I confess, Lord Jesus, there's no good thing in me. And God, apart from the work of the Holy Spirit of God this morning, nothing eternal will take place. But God, I pray, blessed Lord Jesus, that God, that you'd move and touch and bless, and we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. The passage I just read to you says, Lord, we ought to thank the Lord for his unspeakable gift. Now, I do want to remind you, according to the book of James, the Bible says that every good and perfect gift comes down from God, the Father of lights anyway. Everything you've got, God gave you. Every lost person, everything they've got, God gave them. The Bible says the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That means that everything that's in this world belongs to him. He's the creator of it. He's the owner of it. He's the sustainer of it. Everything belongs to him. And while people may think they own a piece of property, or they own a building, or they own a house, or they own a car, or they own a vacation home, it really all belongs to the Lord. And so everything that we have came from the Lord. And I'm just thanking him this morning for all of his blessings on us. I want to thank him for his goodness to all of us. I thank the Lord for his physical blessings. For his physical blessings that he give us in our being. The way that God fashioned us. I saw a little book the other day that reminded me of the verse of the Old Testament said, I'm wonderfully and fearfully made. Thank God for the way he made you. Aren't you glad that God made you with hearing so that you can hear? The ability to hear. Now, I don't hear as well as I used to, which makes life interesting sometimes. And some things I hear that people really didn't say. But the fact that you can hear, oh, listen, you think about it. What would it be like for you not to be able to hear your child's laughter? What would it be like for you not to be able to hear the birds sing? What would it be for you not to hear words of encouragement, words of blessing from others? Listen, thank God for the physical being that he made you. He fashioned you. You're wonderfully and fearfully made. Made you with all the physical abilities to walk and to run and to do the things that you do. For the physical abilities that you have to work and provide for your family. Every bit of that comes from God. He said, God has blessed us. Job, the Bible says that God blessed the labor of Job's hands. And so all that you have came from God. Thank the Lord for that. For the physical blessings that he made you a wonderful being. For the capacity that you have. Not only in that capacity of the physical being of your body, but the physical blessings he's given you. I mean of a home. If you go with me to the Philippines, I believe you'd appreciate your home more. I believe if you could go and see people and know people who are saved and love the Lord, and yet they have so very little in this world, so very little, and yet they love the Lord. God's been so good to us in America. The physical blessings he's given us and how he's blessed us with homes and cars and clothing and shoes and things of that nature. So many things God's given to us, blessings that we have physically. But that's not God's unspeakable gift. As wonderful as this body is, as wonderful as God fashioned us and gave us that the body that we have, that's not God's unspeakable gift. and the physical blessings, all the treasures and land and homes and cars and things like that, that's not his ultimate blessing. That's not the unspeakable gift that's mentioned here. And then I think about his blessings on us in so far as our behavior is concerned. God made us to be emotional creatures. You experience love. You've experienced the love of a mate, a husband, or a wife. The love of a mother or a father. The love of a grandparent. The love of children and grandchildren. You experience those things. What in the world would this world be like? What would your life be like if God had not given you the capacity to love and to experience love and to feel love? What would it be? What would it be if God had not made us emotional creatures so that we could laugh and rejoice and be happy? What would it be if there were not times that God allowed us to weep? Because most of us could testify that most of the most meaningful experiences of our life have involved tears. Sometimes it was tears of sadness and sometimes tears of joy. But God is God of all comfort, and he's demonstrated even in those emotions how he's blessed us. God gave us those wonderful faculties of emotion. Think about how God blessed us so far as our thought process is concerned. How that we can think and plan and do those things. There are people that you know whose bodies and their physical abilities have been diminished because of Alzheimer's disease or some other disease. And their mental capacity is gone. And yet God's blessed you and made you a being that has the ability of thought and planning and appreciation. Thank God for the memory. Wouldn't it be something you had no memory? Wouldn't it be something, and my heart goes out to folk who have experienced that with their families who have Alzheimer's. You think about the memory of your childhood. Think about the memory of your children and the happy days. You see kids around here from time to time, and it jogs your memory, and you think about something when you were a child, when somebody else was a child. The lady who came to me this morning and said, "Brother Billy, I want to put water for those people, because when I grew up, we didn't have running water. I want them to have running water." When you think about things and memory, God blessed us so with memory. But that's not his unspeakable gift. That's not what he's talking about. That wonderful capacity of loving, that wonderful capacity of memory, that's not God's unspeakable gift. The physical blessings he showered upon all of us and given us so many things, that's not his unspeakable gift. The physical blessing of your body and how he's blessed you, that's not his unspeakable gift. I think most of you already know what the unspeakable gift is because you've experienced it. Amen. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Notice that word unspeakable. It means that it is impossible to describe it. I cannot this morning, with my little bitty mind and my small vocabulary, describe for you in any way, shape, form, fashion, anything that would come close to the real nature of that unspeakable gift. It is unspeakable. It is inexpressible. We cannot really express it. Matter of fact, we will not really appreciate it until we get a brand new body in glory for all eternity. And then we'll say, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, thou art holy. God has redeemed us out of every tongue and every kindred, every tribe." I was blessed on the trip to the Philippians. and I met people and I listened to them sing. And I met a young man from Singapore. And he knew the Lord Jesus Christ and what a wonderful witness of the Spirit he had. I met some Korean people and some other people. And I saw God worked in their life. And I thought about it. I thought about that passage of Scripture where it says that in that day, out of every kindred, every tongue, that they'll be praising the Lord and they'll say, "Worthy is the Lamb." And only then can we express in any form or fashion like we ought to his unspeakable gift. You know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about the gift of his dear son and salvation that's in him. What a blessing. In the first place, we ought to thank him because this is an unparalleled gift. It's unparalleled. There's no way. It's incomparable to anything. You cannot compare this gift to anything. It is an awesome gift. The Bible tells us of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he's done for us. The Bible said in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says, "Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. In John chapter 3, verse 16, that most familiar verse of all the whole Bible, it says this, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoso believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." In that passage is the greatest giver, God. God is the greatest giver. And the greatest gift, he gave his Son. And the greatest benefit, eternal life, is through his Son. And the greatest motive, God so loved. He gave it to us because he loved us, and thank God for it. The Bible says of that great gift, that wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And remember the story in the Bible of the woman at the well? I mean, she lived a life. She'd had five husbands, living with a guy right then that wasn't her husband. And she was thirsty in spirit and in body. But at that well that day, Jesus Christ talked to her. And she said, "How is it that you, being a Jew, speak to me? The Jews have no dealing with the Gentiles." And he said, "If you knew who I was, you'd ask of me, and I could give you living water, if you knew the gift of God." And listen, she found that wonderful gift in him. She had her every need satisfied, her every desire. It's an unparalleled gift. She could not find satisfaction anywhere else, but she found it in the Lord. There's no way to compare it. The Bible said, "What would a man give for exchange for his soul? What would it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul?" This gift is unparalleled in its value. In its value. Now, money doesn't determine value of something. I mean, you may have some gifts that people have given you that were just a matter of a penny or two. Sometimes a gift that was given to you by a grandchild, it was their first drawing. You still got it from kindergarten somewhere else. And there's no monetary value to it, but to you it's very precious. Some of you have things that belong to a loved one that you treasure greatly. If you put it on a market, on eBay somewhere, you wouldn't get anything out of it. But to you, it's great value. And the value of this gift is unparalleled. There's no way to value this. The cost that was involved in it, that he gave you everlasting life. God's own dear Son clothed himself in human flesh and came and bought this price, this gift for you. He shed his blood and died for you. He became a man for you. He said, I'm a worm and not even a man. He clothed himself in human flesh. He bore all of our sins in his own body on the tree. And my dear friend, the cost of that gift gives it such great value. But it's beyond value. There's no way to measure how much it's worth. I mean, it's amazing, the cost of it. It's unparalleled in the content of it. Not only the cost of it, but it's unparalleled in the content of it. I preached in the Philippines to the boys and girls, something I've done here before. I took in the junior camp, and I had them to get a great big box. And inside of that box was another box, and then another box, and then another box, and then another box. And on the outside of the box, we wrote Jesus. They wrapped it up beautifully for me. And inside, when I had one of the young boys to come up and to talk to him, and I told him I had a gift for him. And I talked to him, and I said, "Will you accept this gift?" And I talked to him about salvation. And I had told him ahead of time I wanted him to accept Jesus. And so he took Jesus. And we turned it around. The box had Jesus on it. I said, "Now you got Jesus." I said, "But wait a minute." And it was a great huge box. And I had a little table and I set it down there. And then I opened it up. And inside the next box that I took out and set on top of that box, it said eternal life. I said, "Here's a young man that's going to live forever. Boy, this got to getting good to me. I got to think about that little boy living forever." 22 of those boys and girls got saved in that junior camp. And I got to thinking about their live forever. They'll live forever. I may get to go back in 2 years, but it doesn't matter if I get to go back 2 years or not. About 100 years from now, I'll get to see them on streets of gold, because what they got there was eternal life. They're going to live forever. God gave you everlasting life. People spend millions and millions of dollars in America every day trying to just make their life more comfortable, just to live a little bit longer. But by a free gift, God gave you everlasting life that shall never perish. I tell you, I don't know if you understand that or not, if you get a hold of that. It's an incomparable gift in its value because of the content of it. He gave you everlasting life. But inside of that everlasting life, there's peace. I mean, the peace of God that passes all understanding. To know that you can lay down at night, you can face death's door, chilly waters, and you don't have to worry. There's a peace of God that everything's right between you and the Savior. You have peace in your heart, peace in your life. Jesus said, these things I've spoken to you that your joy might be full. And inside of that box of peace was joy. And I kept stacking the boxes up. There's eternal life in there. And there's joy in there. And there's peace in there. There's forgiveness in there. Of all your sin, everything you've ever done, God forgave you, every one of them. What a valuable gift that God would forgive you of every one of your sins because of his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible said God forgave us for Christ's sake because of what Christ did. God forgave us of all of our sin. But watch this. He said, I remember it against you no more. God doesn't even know anything about your past life. If you've been saved, he forgot it all. All of your sins gone. Every bit of it's gone. And what a gift. What a gift to be able to stand before a holy God and be perfect in his dear son. No, nothing, not anything on your account that's not been atoned for by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you right now, if your case is like mine, that's something to shout about. That he's forgiven you of all your sin. And then that last little box I pulled out was heaven. It's the smallest box, but it may be the biggest gift. And I got to thinking about them little boys and little girls and where they raised and how they lived, how most of them didn't have a bathroom, didn't have any running water in the house, just like most of us lived back kind of, quite a few years ago. But I got to thinking about what a deal if Jesus were to come and these people who live in that type of environment, they get to go to heaven just because of Jesus. I mean, for me and you, heaven is going to blow our mind when we get there, and most of us have nice home. But you think about somebody leaving out of a straw hut somewhere with no running water, nobody, and walking on streets of gold and hobnobbing with the saints of all the ages and being sitting down at the marriage supper of the Lamb where they've been eating rice. Rice in the morning, rice in the evening, rice at noon. I've done seen all the rice I want to see. But my dear friend, listen, to sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb for all eternity. Heaven's a real place. And listen, it's an unparalleled gift. You get to go to heaven. You get to go and be in heaven for all eternity. No more sickness, no more sorrow, no more pain. It's an unparalleled gift. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. You can't, not only is it an unparalleled gift, I share this with you this morning, it is an unlimited gift. Unlimited gift. I tell you, I'd love to be able to give good gifts. Expensive gifts. But my resources are limited. Your resources are limited. I know that most of you just go out of the way to be good to your family, good to your kids, and give them great gifts. But there's some things I hear about people who just do ridiculous things, that they buy for their family. And and I know there's certain gifts that you'll never be able to give to your children. Certain gifts you'll never be able to. That doesn't mean those are the most important gifts, to be sure. But you just know that you're not able to get that. You couldn't do that. But here is not only an unparalleled gift, his unspeakable gift, but it is, my dear friend, an unmerited gift, unlimited gift. It's unlimited. It means that it's not limited to anybody. Anybody can have it. Any man, woman, boy, and girl can have this gift. The Bible says in 1 John, in chapter number 2, in verse 1 and 2, that he is propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of the whole world. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9, that he tasted death for every man. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 6 says that all we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But in the book of 1 Peter, it says that he had laid on him the iniquity of us all. Titus chapter 2, verse 11 says that the grace of God that bringeth salvation had appeared to all men. He has all men. He's not willing that any should perish. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4 says this, who would have all men to be saved. Anybody can be saved. Who can be saved? Anybody. It's unlimited. Anybody can have it. Anybody can have this free gift. It is unspeakable because it's available to everybody. Can you imagine such a wonderful gift and that anybody could get it? Why? Because you don't buy it with silver and gold. You don't buy it with money. You don't buy it with anything. It's a free gift. Boy, it's an unparalleled gift, and it is unlimited gift because it's free. But then let me say to you in the next place, it is definitely an unmerited gift. Unmerited gift. You and I feel like our children, our grandchildren deserve so much more. I've heard people say over and over again, I want my children to have better than I ever had. The truth of the matter is, We didn't deserve anything from God. The Bible says that in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You said, Brother Bill, I don't deserve anything. Nobody deserves anything from him except to be in hell for all eternity. But I want to say to you, it's an unparalleled gift. And it is unlimited gift. It is unspeakable gift because it is an unmerited gift. We don't deserve it. He loved us and gave it to us because he loved us. You don't earn it. Not by works of righteousness which we've done, but according to his mercy saved us. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is an unmerited gift. This gift that we ought to be so thankful for is an unmerited gift. We didn't deserve it. I mean, we were enemies of the cross of Christ, and yet he loved us and died for us and gave us everlasting life. Let me say to you, and quickly, not only is it an unparalleled gift, and we ought to be thankful for it. Not only is it an unlimited gift, and we ought to be very thankful, and it is an unmerited gift. But the sad thing about it is this. It is an unaccepted gift quite often. That just kind of blows my mind now that I'm saved. Before I got saved, it probably didn't. But now that I'm saved, why would anybody not want this gift? I mean, it's free. It doesn't cost anything. Whosoever will may come. Anybody can have it. But the Bible said it came unto his own, and his own received him not. An unreceived gift, an unaccepted gift. So many throughout all the ages have chosen not to accept this gift. What a sad thing. What a awful thing to think that a person could have had forgiveness, could have had peace, could have had joy, could have lived in heaven for all eternity. And they rejected it because it's offered to everybody. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But for people not to choose to receive it, what an awful thing. The Lord Jesus Christ says to every person, come unto me, all you that labor heavy laden. But I think one of the most graphic pictures outside the cross itself and him hanging on that cross and crying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, is prior to that time when he stood on top of a mountain overlooking that city. And the Bible said this, Jesus wept. And here's what he said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that stonest the prophets, how oft would I gather you together as a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not come to me that you might have life. He wept over that. He wept at the tomb of Lazarus, and he wept over that city because they would not accept that free gift. I wonder this morning, have you ever accepted that gift? Have you been putting it off? Have you rejected? Have you not accepted that gift that he offers to you? Friends in the radio audience, internet audience, and here in the building, it's an unaccepted gift by many. But for those of us who have accepted it, it is our greatest treasure. Our greatest treasure. Oh, I don't to think that he loved us and died for us and gave us everlasting life. That's why we sing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. My dear friend, it's a rejected gift, an unaccepted gift. For those of us who are saved, it is our greatest gift. It is our greatest joy. I want to ask you this morning, have you received that gift? You say, well, Brother Bill, I've been thinking about it. I've been thinking about it. Well, let me say this to you. When you leave this building this morning, you will either receive it or you will reject it. You'll receive it or you're rejected. You say, well, Brother Bill, I'm just going to wait. The Lord Jesus Christ said, today's the day of salvation. He said, he that's not with me is against me. And you either receive the gift this morning or you reject the gift. Would you receive the gift? You say, Brother Billy, how do I receive that gift? The Bible teaches that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You must first of all recognize the fact that you're a sinner and you need to be saved. And once you do that, the Bible said you ought to not only acknowledge your sin, but you need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. What do you believe about him? What must you believe? He said you ought to believe the gospel. The gospel is this. Christ died for our sins according to the scripture, was buried according to the scripture, rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Christ bore all your sins in his own body. Christ died for you already. And here's what you're to believe. You're to believe that Jesus did that for you. And you'll receive that. Receive that. Believe that, that Jesus did that for you. And a gift is a gift. It's free. But a gift must be received to be benefited by and be blessed by. And you must receive it. How do you get it? The Bible said, if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, God raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you'll come to him, if you'll call on him, if you'll receive him, he'll save you this morning. Would you bow your heads in prayer this morning with every head bowed, every eye closed? Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. I tell you, as you enter this Thanksgiving season, you certainly ought to be thankful for your country. You certainly ought to be thankful for your physical being. You ought to be thankful for the mental faculties that you have. Thank him for the family and relationships that you have and love that you have. Thank him for the physical blessings of material things all around you. But I want to remind you that the greatest gift that you have is Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord. If you take away everything and just have Jesus, you'll have enough. But you can have everything and not have Jesus, and you'll never have enough. You need Jesus today. How many would say this morning, while we have our heads bowed and eyes are closed, I want to raise my hand, Brother Billy, and not just to acknowledge the fact that I've been saved, but I'd like to raise my hand toward heaven and say, thank you, Lord, for your unspeakable gift. And by raising your hand and acknowledging that, you're saying, I have received that gift. I know I'm saved. No, heaven's my home. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Lord, thank you for saving me. Thank you for everlasting life. Thank you for what you've done for me. God bless you. You may put your hands down. I wonder if there's a man, old woman, a boy, a girl here who'd say to me, Brother Billy, what a great gift. To have all my sins forgiven, to have peace, to have joy, to have eternal life, to have forgiveness, to have heaven. And it's all in Jesus Christ. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also freely by him give us all things? Everything's in Jesus. Everything you'll ever need's in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want this morning to challenge you. If you've never trusted him, you've never called on him, do it now. Do it now. The people who've raised their hand around you just now, there was a point in time when they knew they were lost, they needed a Savior, and they asked Jesus to come in. Last night, LaVon shared his testimony how that as an 11-year-old boy across the road in the old building, he trusted Jesus, and here he is now, these years later, loving Jesus and serving Jesus and singing, preaching. God's got everything you need in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you this morning to trust him. And as you begin what we call the Thanksgiving season, I think it'd be very appropriate this morning for some of us to just get around this altar and be reminded that of all the blessings you've got, of all the wonderful material blessings and family relationships and physical health, the greatest gift you've ever had with salvation, and do us good to thank him for it. But I wonder this morning if there's a man or woman, a boy or girl here, while no one's looking, would say to me, Brother Billy, if I died right now, I don't have that gift. I've never received Jesus Christ as my Savior and Lord. But preacher, I want to do that. I want to do that. And will you pray with me when no one's looking around? Raise your hand. If you don't know for sure, if you died now, you'd go to heaven. You say, preacher, I want to know that before it's too late. Will you pray for me, preacher? Would you raise your hand across the building? I don't know Jesus as Savior and Lord, but I want to know it. I want to know it. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. No way to explain it. No way for us hardly even comprehend it now. Thank God for it. It's unparalleled. Thank God that it is unlimited. Thank God that it is unmerited. For those of us who have gotten saved, thank God is an accepted gift.